know a name.
Every time I call you Jesus.
Good morning. It's time to come to start service this morning. Let me say that we appreciate you coming out and being with us and starting the Christmas season off this morning with the kids playing just a little bit. I want to take a minute or two and say that we appreciate everybody that come out and help us decorate Wednesday. I think we had a really good crowd out, probably 30 or more people out that evening to help us put up all these gazillion trees back here and light them up, and they done well, and I just stayed out of the way for the most part and helped when I could and stayed out of the way most of the time. They know what they're doing, and we appreciate them for coming and doing that, and appreciate you for being here this morning and celebrating Christmas. And we started doing this some years back, taking the whole month of December to celebrate. We saw people celebrating their birthdays all month, so we thought, why can't Jesus do that as well? So we're going to start that celebration this morning. We're going to come to you with a sermon series about Emmanuel, God with us, here just in a few moments. But right now, we're going to turn the kids loose for the kids play, and then after that, Dave's going to come and open us up in worship with the choir this morning. So let's see. I asked Lisa if she had a title for this. She said, Christmas. I said, can we call it Christmas in Dixie and let Dolly Parton sing or something? So, we're going to turn it over to them now.
Amen. I mean, he's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Never know what you're going to get with one of them things, do you? We're glad to see everybody here this morning. Thankful for Lisa, all she does with our kids and stuff. It's great. Like I say, we love everything about it. We're getting ready to turn the service now. We're going to go to the worship part. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, but let me have some ushers up front if we could. Let's go ahead and take care of a little business. I'm going to read a few scriptures right here in just a minute. But I'm going to use a scripture this morning. I'm going to do like a dual purpose this morning, not take up much time. We're going to go ahead and get into what we have for the Lord in worship this morning as the choir comes to. But in Mark 12, 4, verse 41, I'm losing my mic here. Verse 41, he sat down opposite of the treasury and watched them putting money in the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor woman came and put in 2 coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples and said, truly I say unto you, this poor woman has put in more than all contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. Think about that just for a minute. Number one, Jesus sat down and he watched people giving. Now, I don't mean to put the heat on you this morning, but Jesus is watching you give this morning, okay? Jesus is watching everything that we do, but I think the most important thing about this is that she done absolutely all that she could. She was a widow. She had lost the one who took care of her, and she was spilling her heart out to him. And how that he noticed that in her poverty, in her sad state, in that state of needing, she gave everything she had. Amen. It's a privilege to be able to give in his house this morning, isn't it? It's a privilege to be able to not only give from abundance, but to know that if you don't have but just a little bit, you can still give that thing to him, and he notices, and he thinks that our gifts is greater just because of the simple and fact of the matter that it is all about the condition of the heart this morning. Amen. So if you would this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer for our offering. Lord, we ask you this morning to touch this offering. God, those who have it this time of year and those who don't have it this time of year. Father, those that are in, such as this woman, maybe a poverty state, Lord, they're having a hard time. Lord, we ask you to touch. Lift them up. Bless them this morning, Lord. Because we notice that it's not about the abundance, Lord, but it might be the simple fact that somebody just does not have it this morning. But God, how that you know that if they'll make that offering towards you, that, Lord, you'll think more of it, far, far more of it than that one that's given in abundance. Amen. And we ask you to touch this offering this morning and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about announcements just a minute. Like I say, Pastor touched on it. He's going to do a new three-part today. We're glad for that. Let me now is going to go to the nursing home outreach will be this Wednesday. We're going to go to Trinity Nursing Home, and we're going to go to 3 Mile Nursing Home. But here's what we're going to do, okay? We are going to meet here Wednesday at 6 p.m. I think we are supposed to arrive at the nursing homes at 7 p.m. And then we're going to from here, we are going to decide who is going to go to which nursing home. And we're going to take care of both of them simultaneously. And then after that, we are going to meet at Giovanni's for pizza, okay? Are you following me? Giovanni's at Logan. We're going to meet the Giovanni's at Logan. And here is another thing about that. If you think you're going to go, okay, we understand how things are this time of year. We want you to please contact Kim. That way she'll have kind of an idea about a number about who's going to go. Amen? Boy, y'all's quiet this morning, I'm telling you. All right, let's go with the next thing that we're going to touch on here just a little bit. We're going to talk about the church Christmas banquet. That is at Chief Logan Convention Center at 3 p.m. next Sunday, okay? Here's another little detail we want you to know about that. We want you to be very as considerate as you can be. If you have informed Kelly that you will make it and something has come up that you will not, we are asking that you contact Kelly, okay? Because we may have people who want to make an appearance that have just missed the window to sign up, and we can get them in if somebody that is not going to make it will inform us and let us know what's going on. We would thank you, and we would please appreciate that in Jesus' name, wouldn't we? It's all about being considered. If you can't make it, let us know, okay? That maybe we can let somebody else in, amen? And another thing that I know I'm missing something. I am, but I want to say this one. And Pearl has got me this morning on it, and I don't think we announced this enough. And I'm just going to change the order of the service with this one right now. There is prayer service here on a Sunday evening. Okay, if you're new to this church, if you want to be involved, if you want to get in a group, we call it a group sometimes, but this group never ends. It lasts all the time, Ted. I'm going to tell you this evening that there's prayer at 6 p.m. at this Sunday just about every week, amen? Can somebody say amen for a prayer group that'll meet every week and absolutely pray for the orders and the affairs of the church in his house, amen? There should be something about this. It inspires us. We know people get busy, and we know that there's things that are going on at this time of year, but thank God for a prayer group that'll stand in the gap and pray for our people and everything, our ministers, everything that we've got going on. People have no idea about the things that we try to take care of, but thank God that there's a prayer group that prays about every one of them. Can someone say amen? Now, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Stand with me if you would. Here's another thing about the scripture that I thought of this morning as I read a while ago. I talked just a little bit about how this widow made an offering and how she put her two copper pieces that she had. It took her two pieces of to even make up to have a penny. But I want to leave you and I want to change the order of the service this morning and use that scripture in this way. It may not be about your high spots, how blessed you are. It may not be about where you've come from or where you've been, but it's a simple fact of this. It's about where you are right now. And if you'll realize that right now, if you have a need like this little widow woman had, the Bible said that she was in a position of poverty, but she still gave. Church, I want to leave you with this morning. Your position, where you at, what are you willing to give to the Lord this morning? What are you willing to take into your heart and say, God, what I have, I'm going to give to you? Are we willing this morning to give everything that we have to the Lord? Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Let's worship with the choir.
Hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise.
The light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am. together worthy, all together wonderful. To
Sean Kemp, sing that one more time.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time. We appreciate everybody that has come out this morning to celebrate Christmas with us, get the Christmas celebration started. Appreciate Lisa and the children and the little play that they put on there. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it seems like it's maybe somewhat of a struggle when it comes Christmas time and thinking about what to minister on, preach on, and it seems like, you know, the Christmas message never changes, so it's like how many times can you sort of rewrap it and present it? But at the same time, I think that's one of the beautiful things about Christmas is it retells the story of how God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. And so we're going to lean on a scripture that I'm sure most of us here preached on a lot during this time of year, and that is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. If you want to stand for the reading of God's Word, this is going to be the scripture reference every week, the next 3 weeks, when we talk about Emmanuel, God being with us, and this was a retelling, if you will, of a prophecy that was given. And we're actually going to tie that prophecy in to the Old Testament today because I feel as though I did happen to stumble upon this or think about this in my mind. You know, it's amazing to me. We talk about Emmanuel, God with us, and I'm guilty of it as well. And yet we sort of forget sometimes that it's an actual Old Testament prophecy concerning that time during the Old Testament, okay? And so we're going to tie that in this morning. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You can be seated if you wish. I think when we look at Emmanuel, God with us, one of the greatest promises in the Scripture, what we'll find when we dig into it just in a few moments, just like in our everyday life, sometimes the greatest promises that come from God is found during the darkest times that we're going through. And so it's almost as though the darkness demands some kind of light, some kind of answer, if you will, and the darkness that we experience even in our daily lives sort of, you know, extracts an answer from us, and that is that God is with us. And that's what emerges most, I think, is when you're going through those times in life, and that's what we want to key in on today, when you feel alone, when you feel in doubt and fear, times of isolation, and I think we all feel that from time to time, it's during those times that this promise that God indeed is with us no matter what usually means the most to us. In other words, when everybody's around, everything's going well, everything's all right, nothing's going wrong, God with us is not a greatest promise as when it is that we feel isolated or alone or in doubt and in fear. And we'll see that most of the time, God being with us means the most during suffering, during those times when we're experiencing loss and despair. I think about the song that Sid always sung, "The Anchor Holds," and he said it was in the night through the storms of my life. That's when God proved his love for me. It's like when it's the darkest, that's when God shows up. When it's the darkest, that's when you feel the most loneliness. It's when you feel the most isolated. And I think the enemy has a way of playing into that isolation. And when he can make you feel isolated, alone, and afraid, that's when that doubt and that fear and that anxiety sort of kicks in. And I got a couple examples here, and you probably heard me use these throughout the years, but probably two of the best that I can think of. And one's to sort of lighten you up and get you laughing a little bit and let you know a little bit about me if you don't know about my Indian phobia this morning. And then the other one's a little bit more serious, but many of you know this. I don't hide it. I've got this fear of Indians. And I mean, it's a legit fear. It's odd, I know, but I remember after me and Kelly first got married, we were living in Virginia, and I can remember waking up in a sweat from fighting Indians in my sleep. And I know that's funny, but that's just, I blame it on my mom and dad for taking me to the Aracoma story when I was little. If you've been to the Aracoma story lately, you know, they sort of watered that thing down. To me, it's not like it used to be. When I was little, I was sitting on like second or third row. Them engines jumped up out of the creek and started squalling and bawling and scared me to death, I'm going to tell you. And since then, I legitimately can tell you I have dreams where I'm fighting Indians. And so, I remember in kindergarten, y'all remember some of you go to school in kindergarten when you went half a day? I remember going half a day. Well, my part of the day was the early morning part. And I had to walk out of the holler there. When I walked out of the morning, I had my older cousin and a few more of them that would walk with me. But when I got off the bus, after my half a day, I had to walk up the holler by myself. And I remember Thanksgiving, they started talking about pilgrims and Indians. And I ain't kidding you. I'd get off that bus, and as soon as my foot hit the ground, I ran all the way up that holler. And I could swear I could hear Indians beating on tom-toms in the hills. But it was just my heart in my ears pounding, I guess, from running. But I just knew there was some Indians that was left that was ticked off about what we'd done to them that was going to come out and get me now. And you talk about feeling alone as a small child, and your biggest fear is up there in the mountains, and you're all by yourself for this given period distance here, and you got to outlast them and make it home before they get out of the mountains. They're going to come and take revenge on you. A lot of times that happens to us even now as adults. It's when we feel our loneliness, when we feel isolated the most. The enemy sort of makes those doubts and fears that's not even real seem real. And then there's times when doubts and fears are actually real. And this one's a little more serious. I remember we were going in to have Micah, and he was already been told, you know, he's going to take him, you know, because she couldn't have Emily. So they know they're going to have to take Micah as well. And the day we found out she was pregnant, we got to pick the day. We picked the day so he would be home for Christmas. So we go in that night, and we check in after 12 like they tell you to, and then that next morning they're going to take him. And I'm working a lot, and I don't, you know what I mean, I don't go to all the doctor's appointments and things of that nature. But somehow that morning I hear her and the nurses and everybody else talking about how with the second C-section, if you will, that it's a lot trickier. It's a lot harder to get everything back and all that good stuff and stop the bleeding. And I get to thinking about what I'm getting ready to face. Then they take us in, and they take her back and start prepping her, and they set me in this little place. And I don't even know if they do this now. They set me in this little place where I'm waiting. And while I'm waiting, I'm with the staff. And it's during the Christmas period, and I always tell this story like this. They act as though nothing's going on. They've got meat trays and veggie trays, and they're talking about, you know, who brought this and who brought that, and they're just laid back, and they're talking about, you know, what they're going to have for lunch, and man, you see what they brought these goodie trays here. And in my mind, I'm there alone thinking, my wife's getting ready to go under right here. Now, and I'm scared to death, and these people act like nothing's going on at all. And it was during that time that I remember feeling all alone, isolated. Listen, did they care? Absolutely. But they'd done that a gazillion times, and it wasn't nothing to them to do that. It's not as though they didn't care, but I'm going to tell you, when you face something like that and you feel like nobody else is feeling what you're feeling, there's a serious condition there that causes isolation in your life. And sometimes you go through those things, Vicki, and you think nobody else knows. And it's during those times of isolation that, if we will allow, it's the greatest opportunity for God, Emmanuel, God is with us, to come in and reassure you. And I tell you how the rest of that story goes. To set up where I'm going this morning is, I begin to ask in my mind, what if something happens? What if I lose my wife? What if I lose both of them? And I remember getting in a frantic state, panicking a little bit on the inside of me, and something snapped and said, no matter what happens here, I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to have God with me. And my nerves settled. And I tell you, if I could, I'd have got up and started enjoying the meat and veggie tray too. Because God quieted my soul. But I'm telling you that to illustrate this, that it was during some of the scariest moments where I felt the most isolated that God proved to me the most that He was Emmanuel, God with me. Have you ever been in a situation like that and God showed up and let you know that you were not in it alone? Give Him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. I think that's something we all deal with, is loneliness, isolation, doubt, fear, anxiety, and especially around this time of year. And I like to look into stats when I talk about these things, because I think sometimes, again, we feel like we're the only ones that deal with that. But did you know that 50% of U.S. adults often or some of the time feel like they lack companionship? 54% of adults feel isolated. 50% feel completely left out of society. So one in everybody, every other person in the United States feels left out or neglected at some point. And we're living in the age of connection with social media and all these other things, and yet we find ourselves the most isolated that we've ever felt. And that's because our condition isn't about a social identity. It's more about a spiritual thing that's going on. Although we tried to become more connected with each other through the years, because we have outgrown, if you will, God, we no longer have that connection with Emmanuel, and we feel like we're alone. Because I'm going to tell you something, and you can write this down if you don't listen to anything else I say: God is the only one who can complete you to the extent to where you do not feel alone. I don't care how close you are to your companion. God is the one that you can lean on the most, and He is your God. Me and Kelly were the other evening, we were, and not to get too mushy on you, but we just laid down in the bed, rolled over, and she said, "Boy, I'm glad you're my person." And I think I said something stupid. I think I literally said, "Yeah, we do good together," or something like that. Like, that's how awkward I am, even with Kelly, about things, you know. I said, "Yeah, I think we do good together." That, you know, she understands what I'm saying. That's my way of saying, "Yeah, you're my person too." But you can't just spring something like that on me. I got to think about that, right? She said, "I'm glad you're my person." I said, "Yeah, we do well together." I said, "I'm glad you're my person too." But as much as me and Kelly can get along and sit on that couch and be together or whatever all day long, and we don't have to have anybody else around us and all these other things, the reason we're able to do that is because both of us have God at the center of our lives. Now, we're living in a society where we're made to believe that other people, other things, other jobs, whatever it is, can feel that. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't have God at the center of your life, you'll never enjoy that other half or whatever like you can, because you put too much pressure on the people around you to fill a spot that only God can fill. In other words, there's things that I lean on God for that I cannot lean on Kelly for, and that's what makes the whole thing complete. That's the reason that threefold cord is not easily broken, is because Emmanuel, God with me, I've got Him with me, so I don't depend on Kelly for everything in my life. She is my companion. I love her more than anybody else on earth, but she is not my God. You say, now what's that even mean? I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a society where a lot of companions, a lot of children, a lot of things have become gods to so many. And then they wonder why they lack joy, why they lack connection. It isn't because they need to make more friends. It's because they need to know Jesus as a friend and know God, Emmanuel, with us. Are you with me this morning? Amen. This may bore you, but I found it interesting. The U.S. Surgeon General made this statement. You can check it out. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. He said, loneliness is literally killing us. You see, that physical consequence is something that begins spiritually. It's that profound spiritual problem that says even though our network gets bigger and we've got 1,000, 1,200 whatever friends on Facebook, we still feel isolated and alone because we don't experience God, Emmanuel, with us in the way that we should. And I'm going to tell you, even if you're saved this morning, I think during this time of year especially, it's easy to get caught up in a lot of things and forget that God is with you. No matter what tragedy you're going through, no matter what crisis you're facing, God is with us. It's the non-negotiable that God gives you that says, no matter what, I'm going to be with you. And it was given in a time, Matthew's just quoting directly from the prophet Isaiah here, a prophecy and a promise that was given to King Ahaz. He was fearful because there was a couple of countries that had come against him, and he was relying on human might. He had sort of taken all of his eggs and threw it in the basket of another country to help him. Whenever he seen these two armies gathered against him, he put his trust in another country to come and bail him out. And God was saying this, no, you're looking in the wrong place for your help. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a sign. And there was a present right then and there, a baby that was born named Emmanuel, as a sign of assurance that God would get them through that, as well as a rebuke, if you will, of them leaning on another nation when they should have been leaning on God. And that sets the pretext of what we're talking about this morning. When I say Emmanuel, God with us, was given during a time of crisis and in a way of saying two things. And I think God would have us to understand those two things this morning. Number one, I am with you no matter what, no matter what you're facing. And number two, what you need, you're not going to find in somebody else. So it was a promise and a rebuke of saying you depend and you trust on somebody else, that alliance you think that you need with somebody else or something else. That help he thought he needed help from Assyria. That help that you think you need from that other nation. It's only going to be found in me. So this season, when we talk about God, Emmanuel, with us, I need you to understand that there is connection that happens between individuals, but it'll never take the place of God in your life. If you feel lonely this morning and everybody in the world comes around you and you still feel lonely, that's because your connection with Emmanuel, God being with us, is in disarray and it needs repaired so that you understand that you have that promise that you're never going to be alone. Isaiah 7:13-14 was the prophecy. Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. There was a prophecy that was given for that time to say this. Listen, you're worried about getting other guys to help you when you need to understand that I'm the one who gives the help. It was God's way of saying, quit looking other places and look to me for your peace and your security and your hope. And I'm going to tell you something, and you know how much I believe in groups and connection. and all those things that you and I can do as adults one to another. But I'm going to tell you this, if we try to manufacture something that takes the place of God's relationship, then we're going down the wrong path as well. Now listen, don't take this wrong. But if church becomes just a place for connection one with another, we've missed the boat. If we think that connection one with another is going to take the place of God, we're sadly, sadly mistaken. I hope churches are not building on the idea that they can connect with one another and lead God out of this thing, because without God, there is no connection, true connection, with one another. In other words, God is the first connection that needs to be made, and everything else falls into place. You see, that was a promise of deliverance, and God gave us the person of deliverance in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if you break that word down, and I know it should go without saying, but I find it very intriguing. M in Emmanuel means with or beside. Anu means us. It's a plural pronoun. And El means God. It literally means God is with us. So when Jesus came and was conceived of a virgin and was born, it was the very moment, the very thing, can you imagine when he took his first breath? It was the very first time that God himself had decided to take on flesh and dwell among us. It was the sign. I would imagine that cry echoed throughout heaven. Many didn't even understand what was going on, and yet that connection of God with us was there in that baby. It was the ultimate answer to alienation. It was the ultimate answer to the idea that they were alone. God is saying this: no, you're not alone, because I am with you. We know that the separation happened, as we talked about in the last sermon series, because of the separation of Adam and Eve from God. We know that God came to walk with them in the cool of the day, and they were hiding because they had sinned. They were alienated and isolated from God. And since then, human had been hiding. That's the reason God had to wrap him in a baby in a manger, so that he wouldn't intimidate everybody when God came down to earth. Because we know, we'll probably hear more about this next week, how God intimidated them so much when the Israelites told Moses, "You go and talk to him and come back and tell us what he says." They were hiding from the presence of God. In the old covenant, the presence of God was conditional. If you do these things, I'll dwell among you. In the New Testament, it's found in a person in the way of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Tim Keller, I love reading after Tim Keller and love listening to his podcast. I know many of you would find him sort of boring. He doesn't scream and shout and spit. But he says some of the most profound things. He said this: "To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But Jesus is a friend who is known and knows us and loves us." In other words, he's been tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And there's nothing that we can go through that he didn't go through, and understands exactly what we're going through. And yet he knows everything about us, our uprise, our downfalls, going in, coming out. He knows everything about you and I, and yet he chooses to call us friend and tell us that he is with us. As a matter of fact, he made the promise in Matthew chapter 28, "I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the age." Emmanuel is a promise. It's the person of Christ. It's that promise that we are never alone. So what should we do with this idea that we're never alone? What do we do with this promise that says God is with us? I would say this: stop living as though God has left you. Live as though God is with me. Take a few moments every morning before you get out of the bed of the morning. Just stop 2 or 3 minutes and tell yourself over and over again, today, God is with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that's me than in me than he that's in the world, right? There's so many promises that we can cling to as long as we stop and recognize Emmanuel, God is with us. That name Emmanuel sometimes just becomes a token, sort of a historical footnote, if you will. But it's so much more than that. It's more than just a theological concept that God has came down and took on flesh. It's God's promise that we indeed are not alone. I wonder if you'd stand with me to your feet this morning. As we get ready to close, I want you to understand that if you're here this morning, you feel that isolation, you feel that loneliness, you feel as though you're all alone, especially during this time of the year. I'm here to tell you it's probably not a social problem. It's probably a spiritual problem. It's that lack of connection with Emmanuel, God with us. It was God's statement of saying, I love you so much and want to be with you so much that I myself, my son, are going to come down and take on flesh, bone, make his dwelling among us. Come down because we couldn't go to him. There was a separation there that was called sin. I think Job said it like this. If I had an umpire, if I had a daysman, he called it a mediator. Job said if I had somebody between me and God that was holy enough to lay his hand on God and still lowly enough to lay his hand on me, then I could speak, not be afraid. You see, Job had to feel loneliness. Everybody turned on him. His friends said, just confess what you done. His wife said, just curse God and die. Job found himself all alone, and Job said, man, if I just had one thing, I need somebody, one person who can be my mediator to God, because I can't speak to God. He's far above where I am. But if I had one person who could grab his hand and still grab mine, I wouldn't be all alone. I could speak. That was a foretelling of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, you're not all alone. God is not so far up there that he can't be reached. I'm here to tell you that he's as close as the whisper of Jesus' name on your lips, because Jesus came to make that connection between us and God. Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder if you'd raise your hands with me just for a moment or two. We're going to worship the Lord this morning because he is with us in every season of our life, in every doubt, every confusion, every trial, every circumstance that we go through, those times when we feel isolated and alone. I know this time of year makes us miss those that have gone on before us, and that we miss being around and we miss their companionship. It can give us that feeling of loneliness and despair, anxiety, and that's because family can only do so much. They can come and gather, and you can have your Christmas parties and your Christmas gatherings. You can get together around the table and eat. And yet when you lay down at night and you close your eyes, you can still feel isolated and all alone. It's because you need that friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't know him the way of your personal Savior, I want to give just a moment or two for you to come to recognize that. Say, you know what? There's a loneliness, there's an anxiety, there's a doubt that I have in my heart. No matter what I do, it won't leave. I thought it was in a person but it's not. Listen, the only way that you can have true peace, comfort, and joy is when it doesn't hinge on anything else. If you've lost your peace and your joy and your contentment because somebody's no longer in your life, because you don't have this, don't have that, or what have you, I would submit to you that you need a relationship with Jesus first and foremost. That you this morning, you're lost. You need Jesus as your Savior. This altar is open. I wonder if the rest of us who know Him to be God, Emmanuel, God with us, would raise your hands this morning. Listen, if you've ever been in a time of need and God has come to you in your greatest time of anxiety, fear, and isolation, doubt, worry, that's His fulfillment of the promise that He'd never leave us, He'd never forsake us, but He'll go with us all the way. I wonder if we could worship Him just a moment, because He is with us no matter what. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for Your presence in our life. No matter where we go, what we do, what we face, the challenges that we face tomorrow, no matter any kind of sickness or doubt or anxiety, fear, depression, isolation, God, we've got the promise that You are with us. All we have to do is believe in faith exactly what You said, that You'd never leave us, You'd never forsake us, but You'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. Father, we thank You.